Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that comes on Easter Sunday, the first one. We're kind of picking up right from where we left off last week. It's a passage, I want you to know, that the disciples are locked away. Listen to these words that come from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I just imagine what that would be like. Locked away. You see, the fear of the Jews has got them so pent up, and it's gotten their anxiety so high, they really don't know what's going to happen. And so they have locked themselves away. The part that I read here doesn't tell us that Thomas is not with them. And it's not just the 11. There's probably others who have come to be with them. And they're locked away. Can you fault them? I mean, can you fault them? They really don't know what's going to happen next. They really don't understand. They know that Jesus has been arrested, that he's been crucified. They know that the tomb was empty. They know that Mary has said, "I have seen him." And yet they stay locked away. You see, they're afraid. They're very afraid. They're very afraid that the next time they hear, that'll be the last time they hear a knock on the door. And that they're going to be taken away too. Fear has overcome them and overpowered them in such a powerful way that they don't know what to do other than to lock themselves away in a room. I imagine they're praying. I imagine they're wondering what's going to happen next. I don't think they had keyholes like I've got on the backdrop there. But I'm sure the door is fastened in some way that nobody can get in without letting them in. And they're just afraid. I can't say I fault them. I can't say that I fault them. Because what's going to happen next? Well, what does happen is that Jesus appears right in the middle of the room without unlocking the door. How about that? Would that set you off? Would you wonder what was going on? That all of a sudden Jesus is right there in the midst of the room and he says, "Peace be with you." And then he says it again, "Peace be with you." I've looked at this passage this week, and as I've looked at it, I'm like, wait a minute. Why does he say it twice? Why does Jesus need to say that twice? And I've thought about it a little bit, and what I've thought about is that, you know, when he first appears there, I don't think it matters what words he says. I'm not going to be able to hear them. How about you? I'm not sure I'm going to be able, I'm going to recognize he did say something, but I'm going to be so shocked that he is right there in our presence that I'm not sure I could hear what he said the first time. And then it says that he showed them the scars. He showed them. And he showed them his side where the soldier had stuck the spear in and collapsed the membrane around his heart. And do you notice what happens? I didn't see it till this morning. I'm sorry. I studied the passage all week, but I didn't see a very important word until this morning. And as I was looking at it this morning, I saw an incredibly important word that I think we pass over so many times. He says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And it says the disciples were what? What does it say? Who remembers? It says they were overjoyed. It doesn't say they were happy. It doesn't say, "Oh, that's nice, you're here." It says they were overjoyed. Do you know the difference between just being happy and overjoyed? Just being happy is me in the morning after I've had a cup of coffee. Okay? Coffee is absolutely necessary. And when the doctor tells me that I've got to back up on drinking my coffee, I'm going to draw the line right there and say, "I don't think so." I might ask the doctor, "Would you like me to come visit you without coffee?" But do you know the difference between just being happy and overjoyed? Oh, come on, I can show it to you. I can show it to you. Just being happy is one thing. This is overjoyed. I'm just teasing you, Judy, but I mean, Judy does have an excitement about her. And that's the excitement I think they had at that moment. The overjoyed excitement is just bubbling over so much you cannot contain it. It just goes everywhere, and it has plenty of energy, overjoyed. And so as I read this passage this morning in preparation for the sermon again, as I looked at it, I said, "You know what? I think sometimes we miss this. I think sometimes we miss this. And I'm willing to say more often than not, we miss it. We may be happy, but we're not overjoyed that Jesus is alive and well and amongst us, are we? Are we bubbling over when we go everywhere? Give me about 5 cups of coffee and I'm bubbling over, okay? That's why I normally stop at 2. But are we that excited about Jesus Christ being alive and among us? Are we that excited? Folks, we need to be. I do joke a lot with people, and I know you've heard me joke about how do you know who the Baptists are, right? The Baptists are the people that are sitting on their hands, so their hands don't get involved in worship service. That's who the Baptists are. Okay? And I have been somewhere preaching and have watched people go, "Not me. I'm not sitting on my hands." I mean, I'm serious. I've watched a whole congregation just do this number. And I'm like, "What did they just do?" Oh, I know what they were doing. They were sitting on their hands. They must be Baptists. You guys think you're Baptist because you sit in the back row. That happens at every church. There must be Baptist in every denomination. That's all I can say. But are we overjoyed about Jesus Christ being alive again? And in the midst of that overjoy, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," a second time. It doesn't just mean absence of conflict. You've heard me say that before. The peace, the Hebrew idea of peace, shalom. It's a typical greeting still for Jewish folks, shalom. And it doesn't just mean peace. It means may the fullness and the wholeness of who God wants you to be come realized in your life. May the fullness, the completeness, the wholeness that God wants you to be, may that become complete in your life. That's what peace means. Isn't that so much more than absence of conflict? The very wholeness that God wants for you, the completeness that God wants for you, the best that God wants for you, as I talked about on Wednesday night for those of you who are here, the best that God wants for us, not good enough, best. That's what that peace means. And Jesus, I think, shares it twice. Once, because they're so shocked. I don't know. Maybe I should let you call my mama. Not this mama, but my other mama. Maybe I should let you call my mama and ask her how many times she had to say things to me before I heard it. Or before I listened. Or before I put into action. Because I know it was not once. My nanny would tell you the same thing, too. It wasn't once that she had to say, Timothy Cushman Irving. You know when they say the whole name, that's it. That's it. Those of you that haven't figured that out, when your mama says the whole name, you see, Jesus had to say it twice so they could hear it. Jesus had to say it twice so that it could really sink into them. God's completeness be with you. And then look at what he said following on with that. He says, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Shall I paraphrase this for you? Jesus says, get out of this room. Stop being locked up in the midst of here. Don't stay within these walls. Get out and do what I asked you to do. Get out and be about telling other people. Get out and be overjoyed in the front of other folks. Get out and bring peace to other people. Get out. Don't stay in this room. Unlock the door and leave. That's what he's telling them. Just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Get out of the room. But before they can get out of the room, look at what he does. I hope this brings back some images for Scripture for you. Before they leave the room, Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, John's gospel is completely different than the other three gospels. The other three gospels say the Holy Spirit doesn't come until the day of Pentecost. But those in this locked away room, at that moment, Jesus breathes upon them. And I hope it brings that image from the book of Genesis for you. What does it say? God reached down and he played in the mud and the clay and he formed together a man and he breathed into him life. Jesus says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now get out of this room. But before you go, here's the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you and help you. And he goes on to say, if you forgive people, their sins are forgiven. But if you're not out in the midst of the world bringing the kingdom of God, their sins can't be forgiven. I paraphrase that, and I think that's what Jesus is saying. If you're not out in the midst of the world bringing the forgiveness of God, people will not be forgiven. Now, here's the Holy Spirit. Take it with you. Listen to it. Rely upon it. Go where it leads you and bring that peace to other people. Do you see what he said to them? How long does it take for all this to happen? Less than 5 minutes, right? Less than 5 minutes, Jesus has appeared in the room. He has shared peace with them, fullness, completeness. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want you to have. And now I want you to get out of the room by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Go to the people that need forgiveness and need peace and go and sit with them and share that with them. 5 minutes, and Jesus changes their whole outlook. And they realize that they need to unlock the door and get out. Well, I'm sad to say that the position of some churches is exactly the same as the disciples. The position of some churches is exactly the same. It happens to be the same thing. Let's lock ourselves away in a building. Let's exist within the walls. Let's be church when we're here, but not church when we're out there. I've had many people in the community that I came from told me, "Pastor, we like you, but we can't come to church." And I said, "Why not?" And they said, "Pastor, you don't know those people that come to church on Sunday and how they act during the rest of the week. They're high and mighty on Sunday, but that's not how they act out in the midst of the community." Folks, are we just church inside these walls? Or are we being church outside the walls? Have we locked ourselves away, as the picture on the front of the bulletin is, and if somebody were to look into that little keyhole, they would see some scared people? I'm scared to get out of the midst of the world because, you know what, there's lots of people that got guns, and I don't know what they're going to do with the guns, and I'm not going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ because they might pull a gun out on me. I don't want to go out and talk in the midst of the world because there's all kinds of people in the midst of the world now that incredible and impossible things are happening when they get offended. And I'm afraid that I might offend somebody, so I'm going to stay inside the walls of the church. What do we call this room? Sanctuary. And Lord, as long as I'm in the sanctuary, I can be safe. As long as I'm inside the walls of the church, I can be safe. Gosh, what will we do today if Jesus Christ appeared right here in front of us and said, "Peace be with you. Now get out of the building." Isn't that what he told them? "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Get out of the building. Go with the Holy Spirit and take the very peace of Jesus Christ to the people who need it." Sometimes it's simpler than we make it to be. Sometimes it's much simpler than we make it to be. Sometimes all it needs to be is just a kind word to somebody. Because you know, there's folks out there that never get to hear a kind word. Sometimes it's just a kind of a passing glance to say something. You know, God gave us a wonderful day. I'm still trying to figure out how to best respond to people that when I talk to them, they tell me, "Well, at least I'm on this side of the dirt." Because you know what? As I read my Bible, it's going to be better when I'm on the other side of the dirt. I don't know whose Bible they're reading. But it says, because I believe in Jesus Christ and have trusted in Jesus Christ, that when I'm buried, I get to be in the presence of the Lord immediately. And I get to be in a heaven that's talked about in impossible terms that I can't understand. That sounds much better to me. Streets of gold? Instead of streets of asphalt and gravel and potholes? I'm still trying to figure out how to respond to those people in a way that might make them think about eternal life. There's a way to do it. There's a couple of gentlemen that I've been talking to at the rec center. Little by little, I'm getting a chance to say something. As far as I know, they don't know I'm a pastor unless they've heard Tommy talk to me. Because sometimes I'll see Tommy there, and Tommy always says, Pastor, and I'm sure some of them people that are standing around me going, what? With my running shorts on and my do-rag on to keep the sweat out of my face. I'm sure some of them are just wondering, what, he's a pastor? That guy with a long beard? That old dude? Where's the people calling me an old dude? That homeless guy? Folks, Jesus doesn't want us just to be the church in the walls of the building. Jesus wants us to be the church outside the walls of the building. That's where church really happens. That's where we're supposed to be Christians. That's where we're supposed to bring the peace of Jesus Christ to people. That's where we're supposed to let them know, do you know God forgives you? That's where we should be spreading that word. I mean, I didn't check this morning. Some of you came in what we call the front door. I don't normally come in the front door. They haven't given me a key to the front door. I've got a key to the office door. Oh, it's the same one, isn't it? Hey. But I didn't come in the front door. Does it say Motel 6 outside? Does it? Is there a sign outside that says Motel 6? Oh, come on. You've heard the commercial, haven't you? Tom Baudet? Tom Baudet says what? And we'll leave the light on for you. Folks, that's not the way to be church. That's not the way to be church. To announce that the door is open and we'll leave the light on, that's not church. Church is going outside the walls here. Church is accepting into our lives the peace that Jesus wants to bring to us. Church is being overjoyed about the fact that Jesus is alive. Amen? Come on, y'all can be louder than Jerry. I know you can. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I got him, Jerry. I mean, isn't that the way we should be? We should be excited about this fact. We should be excited about the fact that we can go out and share with people and say, you're forgiven. Jesus Christ died for you and is resurrected again, and you are forgiven. All you've got to do is accept what Jesus has done for you. I don't think we should have the Motel 6 philosophy. We build a big building, a lot of people will come. Why are so many pews empty? It's not building the building. It's about people going out and sharing. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Get out of the room. Is what Jesus says. So I'll leave you with this question. Are we locked away in the walls of the church, waiting to see what God will do? Are we locked away in the walls of the church, waiting to see what God will do in the midst of our world? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you. We come to you because we need you. We need this peace that Jesus talks about. We need this joy to be established in our hearts again. Many of us found it on that first day when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And oh, how it's tarnished now. Oh, how it doesn't shine like it used to. Oh, how it doesn't express itself like it used to. So, Lord, may we be overjoyed again to share your peace and forgiveness with this world, not waiting for people to come, but going out and talking with them, going out and spending time with them, maybe a moment or two here and there, but always in the back of our mind, thinking about how we're going to help them step closer to you. Guide us and direct us to truly be a church that lives outside the walls of this building. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.